Take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. Actually, we'll start at verse 15. Then you can read verse 16 with me. And then we'll read down to verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 15. 1 John 4, 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Therefore is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your perfect and pure words that you've given us in your Bible. Help us, please, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you that there's more in this life. And thank you for making salvation available to every man if they would just humble themselves and place their faith in your precious blood. Please, help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Verse number 18 is my text verse, and we're going to get to that. But let me start at verse 8, and let me just work through some verses with you here. Look, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. And then what a beautiful truth, God is love. So what's God tell us he is in the Bible? God is jealous. God is a spirit. God is a consuming fire. God is light. And here's one place where God says he is love, which is interesting. That means you can't truly love someone without God. You can lust, you can like, but you can't love without God who is love, right? Look at verse number 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So God's love was revealed to us when he came down to earth and put on flesh like you and I put on clothing. And then, it's interesting. It says, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, you know, that's one reason I know God wrote the Bible. If we wrote it, we'd put there that we might be saved. And God didn't put that. He put that we might live through him. So Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only person who saves. He's the only one who could save because he's God Almighty in the flesh. That you might live through him at the end of verse 9. It's just a neat thought. You can exist without Christ, but you can't live without him. Amen. Amen. And look at verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the purest form of love was shown when God Almighty died for your and my sins on the cross. Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sins. And he didn't just die for our sins, and he just didn't become our sin. God says it pleased God to bruise him. So while he was on the cross, Jesus bore God's wrath on your sin and mine while his Son was bruised. Bruise comes from an impact, a beating. And spiritually, that's what Jesus took for us on the cross. He was the propitiation for our sins. God was angry with you, and when Jesus Christ died, He bore God's wrath for your sin. Look at verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So to know that God loved me enough to die for me is supposed to be the motivation for me loving other people. And when I don't love other people, look, everybody's not lovable, right? But my attitude is supposed to be one of love towards people because God loved me so much. And what motivates me, if God loved me enough to create me and then die for me, then surely I can love someone that has a personality difference with me, right? We ought also to love one another, and it's talking about Christians. And then watch this, verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Wow. So the world can see what God is like when you properly love other born-again believers. I'm just reading the verse and applying it. Okay, well then the opposite would be true also. If Christians fight and they don't love like God told them, then the world can't see God's love. Right? Here we go. Verse number 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. How do you know if you're saved or not? How do you know that? If you died, how do you know that you'll go to heaven? Because of God's Spirit. Yes, I can show you that we're sinners. I can show you that we deserve hell. I can show you Jesus loved you and died for you and rose again. I can show you if you'll place your faith in Him and believe on Him, you can go to heaven. But you're the one that has to make that choice. I can't save anybody. I'm just a messenger. And God says when you get saved, after that, the one that tells you you're saved is the Holy Spirit. And if you're always doubting your salvation, always doubting, boy, I just really hope I think I did, and maybe I am, and boy, I really hope I go to heaven. If you're always doubting it, I would tell you need to get saved. All of us will have times of doubt, right? But it shouldn't be constant. The Holy Spirit tells you you're a child of God when He comes inside you to live. Amen? How do we know that we're in Him? Well, look at verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And which means this, I'm so glad Jesus died for everybody, not just those that would trust Him. Why would somebody be sent to hell? Because Jesus died for everybody. And you lived your whole life and you thought you were good enough and you weren't that bad and your church was good enough, but what Jesus did for you on the cross wasn't. That's why you'll die and go to hell if you die and go to hell, because Jesus died for everyone. But you didn't trust Him. That is why people go to hell. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So when you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, who died for your sins, and you ask Him to save your soul, God says you become His dwelling place. What a thought. I know we call this building the house of God, but this is not the house of God. This is church, but this is where the dwelling place. If you're saved, you're the dwelling place. God lives in you. And that's what makes church so special. Because it's a gathering in one place of dwelling places of God. Amen? That's a beautiful picture. That's why church isn't like any other meeting. Amen? It's where God can work in His people because God dwells and dwells His people. This morning, look at verse number 16. We're working our way down to verse 18. That's my text verse, all right? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, this is the second time that God says He's love. He said it in verse 4. And He says it in verse 16. This is so you can know the right kind of love to dwell in. Godly love is not lust. Lust is a desire to have for satisfaction. It can be dealing with a physical, but lust. Some addicts will lust for drugs that they're addicted to. So lust is a desire and impulse to have for satisfaction. That's not godly love. But a lot of the world thinks love and lust are equal. God's love doesn't seek anything in return. God's love starts with a love for His Word, the Bible, and to truly love God is to love His Word and what He has said in the Bible. Our feelings and emotions have nothing to do with godly love. Most think love is an emotion. Love is a commitment. And you say, where'd you learn that from? God. God so loved the world that He gave. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were good. Yes, God knew who would get saved and who wouldn't, but God didn't make you get saved. And God died for you. God says, this is how much I love you. I love you this much to die for you, whether you receive me or not. If you receive me, I'll give you eternal life. But if you don't receive me, praise God, I'm still dying for you. Right? What a beautiful picture of love. Love is a commitment. Love is not a feeling. Look at verse 17. Here we go. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. So, here we go. The word perfect means mature. So your love is perfected or matured or completed when you realize that because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, He washes you in His blood, and then when God sees you, praise God, God is looking at His Son. Okay, wonderful thought. This morning, I don't fear hell because I know I've believed on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word boldness in verse number 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I know I've trusted Christ. And because I know what the Bible says, I know I'll never die and go to hell. That's not arrogance. That's a boldness that says, I've trusted Jesus and my sins are all gone. All right? Then look at our text verse. I'm sorry, that was verse 17. Look at verse 18. Here's my text verse for this morning. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment or torture. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's define the word fear this morning. The name of the sermon is Perfect Love Casteth Out Fear. And when the COVID junk started 3 years ago, we all had to figure out we were being lied to. But the war on Christianity and the shutting down of churches was because if you can stop people from going to church and hearing the Bible, you can control them by fear. But what does church remind you of? To trust God. And the more you trust God, and the more you're looking to His Word, the less you can be controlled. So we learned the war on Christianity three years ago. It was a war. One of the most important things we learn from church, if it's a good church, all churches aren't good, you know that, all churches don't teach the Bible, but some do. And if they teach the Bible, you're always pointed towards God's Word. And God's Word's always true. There'll never be a time when it's false. Amen? It'll always be right. So no matter what's happening in the world, I always have a foundation for my life, and that's the Bible, right? So the word fear, if I was to analyze verse 18, the word fear means the emotion of pain or uneasiness caused by the sense of impending danger or the prospect of some possible evil. The word fear means a state of alarm or dread. I love this. God has no fear. God's love has no fear, but it casts it out. So this morning, if I could help you understand God's love, then I could help you fear less. And if you're fearful and scared this morning, you are tormented. The Bible says, he that feareth not, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear hath torment. If you're scared this morning, you're tormented and tortured with great suffering and mental pain. And I don't know that any age that we've lived in has more to, what they say, the most certain thing of our day and age is that nothing's certain. So as we watch the chaos of the world increase, and it will, as we watch economics, what were they talking about 2 weeks ago? Oh, looks like we're going to have lockdowns for another pandemic. Monkeypox. Monkeypox? Do you know how that stuff spread? That's for queers. Amen? What do I don't care anything more about monkeypox than I did AIDS. Amen? I like the old statement, if you don't want AIDS, don't monkey around. Amen? So that's just like, it's like when they say, oh, we've got to do something about the fentanyl deaths. We've got to do... I asked one police officer, I said, so how many fentanyl deaths are involved with people who don't do illegal drugs? I said, not much. I don't do drugs. I don't take narcotics. I'm not worried about dying of fentanyl because I'm not an addict. Amen. I don't think drugs are the answers to your problems. Amen. I've taken them too for pain and had them all in the past. I just said that to say we live in a day and age where there appears to be a lot of uncertainty that if you want it to, it could control you and you could live in fear. And God tells us we're not supposed to do that. Ever. Ever. Watch this. Watch this. In this verse 18, notice how fear and love are contrasted. It's just like when Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon. Nobody can. Well, no, I love God and I love money. God said, I didn't make you that way. That's impossible. You love one or the other. One or the other makes your decisions in life. You cannot serve God and manna. It is pretty cut and dry. In our verse 18, fear and love are directly contrasted. God created us so that the two cannot live at the same time in you. You can't love God and fear at the same time. And the answer for your fear is loving God. Here we go. One more thought. Fear is dangerous because if you read verse 18 one more time, watch this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Look at the last part of the verse. He that feareth is not made perfect in love or matured in love. That tells me this, fear is dangerous because if you're fearful this morning and scared, you can't grow as a Christian. You'll stymie yourself in fear. There is a fear that freezes and that causes you to not grow. So be careful as we look at this topic. Look at verse 19. Ready? God helps you. We love him because he first loved us. When I was unlovable, when I was a sinner, God loved me enough to die for me. We love him because he first loved me, right? He first loved us. What a verse. God loved you first before you were born. God loved you first. Now it's your turn to love God, right? It's your turn. Because God loved you first, you can love God. This morning, fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. It is a natural human emotion. It's mentioned in the Bible 385 times. The word afraid is mentioned 189 times in the Bible. And God tells us to fear not, 63 times. Now listen to that. 63 times God says, don't fear. God doesn't tell us to get baptized after we're saved 63 times. He does tell us to get baptized, amen. God doesn't tell us to go soul winning 63 times. He tells us to go soul winning. God doesn't, okay, we're told to give in the Bible, okay, but not directly 63 times. We're told to go to church. Going to church is a command. But God doesn't command it 63 times. Everybody get the picture? Fear not. Stop fearing. Get a hold of yourself. Don't fear 63 times in your Bible. So, if I understand this right, this morning, there is a good fear. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And look at verse 4, and then I'll refer back to verse 1 John 4. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. There is a fear of God and a fear of the Lord that is mentioned in the Bible. 93 times we're told to fear God. This is a proper fear that helps you and doesn't hurt you. All right, look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Jesus said, there's only one person that you should have a fear of. Amen. That's a good fear if you want, not a fear that causes you to tremble and not go forward, but you could say a godly, wholesome respect for, right? And Jesus said, fear him, and that's God Almighty. Fearing God is healthy. The other fear that God warns us about 63 times, fear not, in the Bible is crippling. It's like I've never been a person to like scary movies. I don't like horror movies. I don't understand how people who say they read the Bible can go to the internet. Okay, that is not good entertainment. Okay, I don't know how people can go to say they read the Bible can go to the internet and they say, oh, but Pastor, I read this off of the dark web. Well, that can't be good. And it doesn't sound like any place I want to go. Amen? Or check out. Oh, really? Well, how'd you get there? Now my computer has 50 viruses just because I went to the dark web. All right? All this goofy stuff. When you can read your Bible and find God's love, find God's hope, find God's joy and comfort and peace. So God tells us not to fear. If I asked you this morning, what is it that you're scared of? The more you occupy your mind with things that you're afraid of, the more tormented you're going to be and the less peaceful you are. Please be careful to not voluntarily torment yourself. If you feel the government is lying to you about the virus, okay, then quit listening to them. Amen. You either figured out the government's lying or you soon will. Okay. But don't do what causes you fear. Amen. Don't keep feeding it. Here we go. I love saying this morning. God's never lied to you. And God can't lie, so you can always listen to God. Amen. Read the Bible because everything in the Bible is true. When people say, well, Pastor, I have factual information. How about this? Pastor, I have secret information. Can I tell you something this morning? I have factual information. I have secret information that most of the world doesn't know about. Amen. It's the Bible. All right. I have the truth. We're getting close to with AI. It's amazing what's starting to happen with AI. I told you before, it's going to get to the point you won't be able to trust anything you see or anything you hear. The only thing you're going to be able to trust is your Bible. This is the only source of truth. Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. Amen? If you have a King James Bible, you've got the truth in your hands. People, if you read your Bible, it always tells you things the rest of the world doesn't know about it. You say, look, if I just, I know I've got to watch the time and our time's ticking, but how do you know if you read your Bible, how do you know there's not going to be a nuclear holocaust? I believe there's going to be some nukes launched. I believe there's going to be probably several million deaths because of some nukes launched. I'm not saying nuclear weapons are not going to get launched, but you all know what MAD is, mutual, right? Mutual destruction, right? How do you know that's not going to happen? Because when Jesus comes, he's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. There has to be something for him to reign, right? So do I believe death and war? I know that's in the future. But do I believe all mankind's going to destroy everybody on the planet? No, I don't, because I read the Bible. Amen? And I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. God's already told us. That's an instance. If I remind you, it seems like everybody in our society is either a victim or a survivor. Because every time the wind blows, it's supposed to be something is devastating. Now, I went through this list a while ago, but listen closely. In the year 2000, Y2K was going to kill us all. Remember that? Everybody was buying generators. We had our back room in our house. Our kids were little, and we had it filled with water jugs, right, that we had gotten down the street. In 2001, anthrax was going to kill everybody. In 2002, the West Nile virus was going to kill everybody. 2003, it was SARS. 2004, Islam and terrorism was going to kill everybody. 2005, it was the bird flu. In 2006, it was E. coli. In 2008, the economy crashing was going to kill us all. In 2009, it was the swine flu. In 2010, it was remember the BP oil spill? That was going to kill everybody. We're all still here. Amen. 2011, Obamacare was going to kill us all. I know that's kind of weird, but yeah, okay. 2012, remember the Mayan end of the world calendar said everybody was going to die. Then in 2013, they said North Korea is going to nuke us all and we're all going to die. In 2014, it was Ebola. In 2015, it was ISIS. In 2016, it was the Zika virus. In 2017, it was fake news. In 2018, it was the migrant caravans. Does everybody get the picture? Every year, there's something that's going to kill us all. And next year, it's going to be something different. Why? Because you can only control a people that are running in fear. The old statement goes, you can't control a Bible-reading people. So what do you have to do to control them? Burn their Bible and get them living in fear. That's how you control the masses. You want to call it psyops, you want to call it psychosis, you want to call it all of that, but that is the mentality. Isn't it wonderful to let the heathen rage this morning? The world's always going crazy about something. I don't have to. My retreat and refuge is the Lord and His precious word. It'll never change. It'll never change. Did you know that? Here we go. I do know what's going to kill us all. Sin.
Amen. Sin's going to kill us all. The wages of sin is death. I do know this morning. Everybody needs to get saved. Amen. I do know there is a real hell. I would rather look at the words of God instead of the words of the experts. Take your Bible, go to Joshua chapter 1. Watch this. Looking at the word fear not. Ready? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua 1:8. Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Okay. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You say, what's dismayed? Dismayed is, it's an interesting word. We don't use it a whole lot, but it means to freeze because of fear. God says, don't ever let your fear become like that. Don't let your fear control you. Watch this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If I just spent time just this morning on verse 9, once you're saved, Jesus said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Once saved, always saved, if saved. Then this morning, could I tell you, if Jesus died for you and you've accepted him as your Savior, you shouldn't be afraid. God knows we can be scared and afraid, but God tells us to get out of that state of mind as quickly as possible. Look, if God made you and God died for you, do you really think, he said, God knows the hairs on your head. He said, he cares about the birds of the field. And do you think he doesn't care about you? It's like Christian atheism. Right? It's like I believe in God, but not enough to trust him for my life. And it's sad. It's sad. There'll always be things that cause fear. When that happens, we're to return our thoughts to his presence and his word so we can be courageous and not fearful. Take your Bible, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles, over just a few books there. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. I'm going to look until we run out of time. I'm not going to keep you forever. I'm going to watch the clock, but we're going to go through as many verses as I can on not fearing. And we probably won't get through them all, but watch this. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. And do it. Fear not. There it is again. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. Watch. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So, would God this morning that we would believe him as much as we believe the news. And how many times has the news been wrong? Time after time. When that happens, okay, when we're fearful, okay, with every new report that comes out, God says this morning, could you focus on the last part of the verse? There's a work that he wants you to do in his house. Get busy doing it and do what God wants you to do and stop being afraid. In other words, all I'm concerned about is, God, before I die, I hope I do what you saved me to do and put me on this earth to do. I don't want my life to be a waste. The Lord will help you do the work he saved you to do and put you on this earth to do. Just quit focusing on everything else. God, help me do your will. Show me, lead me, guide me. I was talking to one person this week. I said, God wants to help you and guide you and lead you if you'll just ask him. He promised to. Lord, show me. Right? What a verse. First Chronicles. Here, go to Psalm 27. Go to Psalm 27.
Psalm 27, right in the middle of your Bible. There is no love and fear, and perfect love casteth out fear. I think one of the greatest things I can teach you is that God's love for you will never change. You feel it changes when you don't do what you're supposed to do. All of us can feel guilt and remorse, right? That's the effects of sin, right? But God says, when I saved you, I never stopped loving you. Isn't it wonderful to know there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore? And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. That's wonderful. Only God can do that, right? Perfect love. Understanding God's love. The more you understand God's love, the less you're scared, the less you fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You're at Psalm 27. Look at verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the," here we go, "wicked, even mine enemies and my foes." So there'll always be wicked people, there'll always be enemies, and there'll always be foes. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host, an army, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." What a verse this morning. How can you know that God loved you enough to die for you and save you eternally to be with Him forever and have fear? God says, don't fear. And then God says, don't let yourself fear. Don't allow your mind to think that way. When you catch yourself, it's like, whoa, I'm not supposed to be thinking that. Because I'm saved, right? Because I'm a Christian, because I'm a child of God. Look at Psalm 46. You're in Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 46. Ready? Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3 again. Watch this. God, Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And somebody was showing me the Spanish Bible, and it says, "a very pronto help in time of trouble." What's pronto? Hey, pronto! God says, I'll be there when you ask. Amen. "A very present help in time of trouble." Verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth," watch, "be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling there." Does that sound like green earth garbage? The earth is going to raise in one temperature by the year 2060. One temperature. Are you crazy? What do I care? Amen. Well, the oceans are swelling. You can check the reports. All that is Bill Gates fed garbage. Landmass, they said the oceans are swelling and pretty soon the coasts of America and the east and the west will be totally enveloped in water because of... All right, check the reports. Landmass has increased 3%, I think, in 10 years. That means water level is going down. I think they said 1 centimeter as far as whatever. All that. What do I care? Though, what did it say? "Though the earth be removed, though the mountains shake, I will not fear." I don't care. Can I tell you something? When you read your Bible, you find out God made the earth to be inhabited. Read Genesis 9. God said, spring, summer, the seasons will continue. Well, what are we going to do about the ozone layer? Can I tell you? I don't care. I read my Bible. God said, quit worrying about it. Therefore, anything to get people... Watch this. Go to Psalm 118. Ready? Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 4. Psalm 118, verse 4.
let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and sent me in a large place. Watch this, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now, let's take a path real quick. The Lord is not on your side if you're running with the wrong crowd and drinking alcohol and partying and doing drugs. If you're living that type of a lifestyle, yeah, I would say you got something to fear. Because you're not in the Lord's hands. You're putting yourself in the devil's crowd, in the devil's hands. So yeah, I guess you got something to stay awake overnight. But watch this. The Lord, verse 6, is on my side. When you're living for God and trying to do what's right, none of us are perfect. Nobody here is sinless. But when you're trying to do what's right and you want God's will and you're seeking God's face, and you know there's things we stay away from, I will not fear what man can do unto me. What a verse. If it was just you in this world, you'd have reason to fear. If it was just you against the world and the real devil, then yeah, be afraid. But this morning, your Bible says, praise God, that's not true. We come to church, we sing, we hear the preacher preach the Word of God. Then we go back into the world and we get overwhelmed and info-loaded with all that the world wants us to know. And it's going to either overwhelm you or frighten you. Okay, not because the enemy is wrong. It's because our thinking is wrong that you're scared. If you're scared this morning, could I remind you, God says, don't allow yourself. Get control of your mind, block it out, and focus on the Bible. Get rid of your fear. I love this. If I'm saved, loving God, there should be nothing that bothers me right now, casting all my cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Right? There shouldn't be anything that I'm nervous about right now. Here, let me make a strong statement. We're dealing about the subject of fear. If there's something you're scared about this morning, either stop or give it to the Lord. One of the two, you got two choices. Let me take it one step further, right? Let me preach. If you're scared about something this morning, you're not trusting God, right? If you're not trusting God, your faith is in something else. Could I remind you, like we do when we read the Bible, get your faith back into the Bible. God's word is true. He won't fail you. He won't fail you. Here, go to John 14. Go to the New Testament. There's two more places I want to go. I want to show you. Two more places. Right? Here we go. John chapter 14. Look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not means don't allow. There should be nothing that you allow to scare you. Don't do that. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it get scared. Don't let it be afraid. Here we go. You can train yourself to be afraid just like you train yourself to be depressed. And when you get depressed, if you don't handle it right, eventually you'll become chemically imbalanced because you trained yourself with that emotion. Amen. I'm as right as rain on this. Just like when you get scared, if you don't get a hold of that in your mind, you'll train yourself to be fair. There's people I know. We've had people come to church. They're always scared. They've trained themselves to be that way. They leave church scared. They come to church scared. They're always scared. And there's nothing to be scared of. What are you scared about? Haven't you heard it? Haven't you heard what's going on? And they're literally a nervous wreck. Do you know why? Because they've trained themselves to do that. Don't let yourself be afraid. God says, get a hold. Most of the time,
when we're afraid. We're afraid of things we can't control at the neglect of the things we could control. That means this morning, I can't better the world, but I can be a good husband to my wife. I can't change the world, but I can love my kids. I can't better my friendships. I can better my friendships. I can't change the geopolitical climate, but I can be better. I can help my church. And I can show someone this morning how to get out of hell and go to heaven. There are things I can do, and I need to quit thinking about the things I can't. One more place. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, fifth book of the Bible. I know this is a rough place to end, but what happens when you don't control your mind? What happens when you allow the world to control what you think about and what you fear? There are consequences to that. Look at Deuteronomy 28, the famous judgment chapter in the Bible. Look at verse 58. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. Ready? If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Look down at verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. Watch, verse 65. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind. What verses? God says, if you don't get a hold of what you trust in and get a hold of your emotions, God says, it's going to drive you to do things God didn't save you to do. And God says, when you depart from the book, fear becomes a part of your everyday life. And your whole life becomes a horror story. Look at verse 66. Watch this. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. You get the picture? God's telling you, I don't want, the world will live in fear. I don't want you to live in fear because it robs you of life. Your enjoyment of God and your enjoyment of the Bible is your trust in the Bible. And God says, I don't want fear to be a part of your life. Get a hold of your mind. Get a hold of what you're thinking about. The whole answer is just keeping your eyes on the Lord and in His Word this morning. Let me end with this. I think, from what God just told us in Deuteronomy 28, constant fear, people that are always scared, always worried. Well, we might die tomorrow. Well, yeah, I guess. Okay, we're all going to die. Amen. Nobody lives forever. Why don't you live life and enjoy life while you're alive? Quit. Well, you know, they have concentration camps in America. Well, quit living in fear of a concentration camp because it sounds like you're already in one. You know what I mean? Live life. That's not the life God planned for you to live. That's not what God saved you to do. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your home. Enjoy our freedom that we have. Well, you know they're going to take our freedom. Well, then I always suggest you enjoy it while we got it. Amen? What in the world? It's amazing. Y'all see, fear robs you of life. And just instead of praising God for what you have and what He's given you, fear not. Thou shalt not fear. This morning, we started with 1 John chapter 4, in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not is made perfect in love. As a pastor, if I care about you and love you, I would say you are the only one that control your fear. I can tell you what the Bible says. I can help you. I can encourage you. But that's something you have to do. How you live in your mind. What you dwell on. What you think about. That's up to you. That's the world. I hope it's Bible-based. Amen. And I want it to be a help. Fear thou not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. I pray that, Lord, please, you would help these people this morning. There's so much. As the uncertainty of the world increases, I pray that, Father, please...